It's 10:30 in the morning as Perry Mason drives to the office of Dr. Howard Doyle, veterinarian. As you know, Dr. Doyle might have information which will help Perry learn the identity of the mysterious and dangerous man called Gus. And as you also know, Gus is none other than August Jansen, Kate Beekman's new friend. In fact, Gus Jansen drove Kate home from her job at the nightclub last night. Now, in the Beekman home...
Who is it?
Me.
Oh, Ma. You been to the store?
Yeah. I hoped you were still asleep. Oh, don't drip water on the floor, Katie. I'll hand you your towel. Hey, you want me to dry you back?
Oh, my back isn't a bit stiff. I can do it. Oh, I left my robe in my room.
I'll get it.
No, never mind. I'll get it.
You stay there until I bring your robe. You want to catch your death? I'll fix you some breakfast.
Oh, don't bother. I'll fix toast and coffee.
You'll eat bacon and eggs, too. Here's your robe.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You can start the bacon, honey, huh?
Yes, Mom.
Hello? Why, yes. Yes, just a moment. For you, Katie.
For me? Who is it?
He didn't tell me his name.
Come and get your breakfast, Tom, honey.
All right.
Hello? Oh, Gus. Fine. You? Hmm? Well, I'm supposed to be there by 6 o'clock. Oh, I'd love to have you pick me up, but it's such a bother. That's nice of you to say so, Gus. All right, if you're sure you don't mind. I'll meet you on the corner. Well, it's easier than stopping in the middle of the block. Bye-bye.
There's your orange juice on the table.
Hmm?
Drink your orange juice.
Oh.
Can you eat two eggs? Katie?
What, Ma? Oh, yes, please.
All right. Who is he?
Hmm? The man who phoned?
Yeah.
August Jansen.
Who?
He's part owner of the club. He brought me home last night.
Oh. How'd he happen to bring you home?
Just offered me a ride.
Drink your orange juice, honey.
He bought his car in Europe. It's a foreign car. It's coal black with chromium wire wheels.
What?
Well, you know, Ma, they put wire spokes on sports cars. You've seen them.
Maybe, but I didn't notice. Okay, he's got good manners in a swanky car. And?
Well, he's good looking, and he's tall, and he's been all over the world.
And?
Well, I've told you the important thing. He's going to give me a ride to work this afternoon.
Oh? What time's he picking you up?
A few minutes after 5.
Oh, I wish your father could be here. But at least I'll meet him. I want to start on your bacon.
Now, wait. August isn't coming in.
Why?
Well, I told him to pick me up on the corner.
Katie.
Well, it's easier for him to pick me up on the corner.
Katie, you knew I'd want to meet him. Why didn't you ask him to come in? Are you ashamed of him, Kate?
No.
Well, are you ashamed of me?
Oh, Ma.
Then is it your father? Are you ashamed of him because he's on parole?
No, certainly not. Ma, I didn't mean anything by not asking him in.
Don't be ashamed of your father. Not ever. He don't drive an expensive car and he hasn't been all over the world, but he's a fine man, Katie. A good man.
Ma, I didn't
And
say...
he's making the grade. He's going to be a successful man.
I'm sure he will. Please, Ma.
I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather he told you, but I think the sooner you know it, the better.
What?
Well, remember how you felt when your father got a job with Nicholas Importing Company? In the warehouse? Remember, you were disappointed? Oh,
not really. I just...
You were disappointed because he thought he'd land an executive's job. Now he's earned it.
What?
Mr. Nicholas promised Ed there was no limit to how far he could go in the company. Now he's proving it. He's made your father his personal assistant.
Ma!
Your father's assistant to the president of Nicholas Importing. Your father's a man to be proud of.
Oh, I am proud of him. Oh, Ma, I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, honey. I'm proud of him, too. You going to bring that young man in?
Well, not today. I've already told him to pick me up on the corner.
Soon, Katie?
Why, of course, Ma.
Make it soon, honey. I'm anxious to meet him.
Well, Perry Mason has a grim determination to find Gus. Because even though Mason doesn't know his true identity, he's learned shocking facts about the man. Now, as Perry and Della enter a corridor in Dr. Doyle's small animal hospital...
Smells just like a real hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You going to give him your right name, Perry?
Oh, yes, yes. I spoke with Paul Drake. Dr. Doyle has an excellent reputation. Lectures at Veterinarian's College. It's a great word, him. He's all right. Well, here's his office. Uh-oh.
Oh, pardon.
Please,
it's all right. You didn't step on my toes. What can I do for you?
Well, I would like a few moments of your time. My name is Perry Mason.
Lawyer?
Yes, I am a lawyer. This is Miss Street, my secretary.
Hello, doctor.
Miss? I'm very busy, Mr. Mason.
Well, this won't take long, sir, and it's very important.
Well, so are my animals important.
This concerns a beautiful young woman who is in danger.
Her?
No. Even younger than Miss Street.
Well, I'll bet she's no prettier.
Thank you, Dr. Doyle.
All right, Mr. Mason, I'm going to inspect the kennels. You can walk with me.
This is a confidential matter, Dr. Doyle.
Nobody out in the kennel but the dogs. They won't talk.
Oh.
Sorry, I haven't time to talk in my office, Mr. Mason. These fool animals take all my time.
Something wrong? An epidemic or anything?
No, just a bunch of fool dogs. Every week I go up to Smithville, give lectures up at the college.
Yeah, we go through here.
Listen to them. I go there every week, but you'd think I'd gone off and deserted it.
You have a lovely big yard for them.
Yeah, too good for them.
Don't you like dogs, Dr. Doyle?
Can't stand them. Ah, how you doing, King? How's that leg? Yeah, listen to you. Trying to make me think you're glad to see me, huh? Well, you don't fool me for a minute. That leg's as good as new.
What was wrong with him?
Car ran over him, broke the femur.
Oh, I didn't know you could heal a dog's broken leg.
Well, you can do it if you're fool enough to fool with a fool dog. Give him the proper care and work with him.
Doctor, won't you take a minute for a girl who needs help?
All right. What's trouble?
Her name is Suzanne Barclay. Know her?
Yes. I'm boarding her dog, that dachshund over there.
Yes. Mrs. Barclay brought you her dog several months ago, the night of October 28th, to be exact. You are the last person known to have spoken with Miss Barclay. She disappeared the night she brought her dog to you.
Ran away, or?
Yes, ran away. Went into hiding.
Well, I didn't hear anything about it.
Well, her mother and her uncle have kept it out of the newspapers. They've been searching for her.
Well, a fool thing for Suzanne to do.
She had a reason for running away, Dr. Doyle. She was frightened.
You don't have to tell me.
Did you notice?
Stuck out like that bandage on her hand. She never did tell me how she got hurt.
Well, Suzanne was involved with an evil man, Dr. Doyle. She had an argument with him.
He cut her hand?
Yes.
Who is he?
We don't know. We know only his first name, Gus. Did you ever hear Suzanne refer to a man called Gus?
No.
So what I'm telling you now is in confidence. Gus is, or was, a member of a huge criminal syndicate. Our best bet for learning his identity is to locate Suzanne Barclay.
Sorry to hear this, Mr. Mason, but why come to me?
Well, you talked to her just before she disappeared.
Oh, you figure I might give you a clue, huh? Oh.
Yes. Can you tell us anything?
I'd like to, my dear. Believe me, if I could tell you anything. But I can't.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel the same. But you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. But if you hear anything, let me know, huh, Mr. Mason? I always liked that girl. Lots of spunk and spirit. Well, drop in again sometime, Mr. Mason.
Seems as though Perry Mason struck another stone wall, doesn't it? His hopes for important information from Dr. Doyle seem to be false hopes. But I can promise you a most important and surprising development in our very next episode. So, by all means, join us tomorrow, won't you?